Made some quality improvements here this morning. It's the news, according to me. I can tell the difference already. Hey, it is Tuesday morning. Wow. Wow, that's a difference. You can't tell the difference, I'm sure. Hey, it's Tuesday, August 18th, 8:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2026. I am here this morning with the latest and greatest of technology. Here we have Technology Tuesday. It is upon us. If you happen to notice, there's no rattling in the background. Remember that rattling you used to hear all the time in the background? It was rattling. Rattle, 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 rattle. Now it's just my mouth saying rattle. There is a little thing called a chair that I had in here that was a problem. It was a problem. It had a rattle in the back. The backrest on it, I didn't notice it. I happened to go back and listen. I was listening to some of the podcast because I was trying to figure out if I had said something. I was trying to figure out what I had said there. And I was listening to it. I don't do that very often. I usually don't listen to myself. And I happened to notice in the background, there's this constant rattle, 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 rattle from the chair. So I want to apologize because it was driving me nuts. I don't know if it's driving any of you nuts or not. But it was certainly annoying to me. Now, I pick up on that kind of stuff. Maybe some people it doesn't bother them at all. Other people, I'm sure it does. And so if it was bothering you, I do sincerely apologize. I'm sorry that I put you through all that. Because it drove me nuts. So I have a different chair in here that has no mechanical, has nothing mechanical at all on it. It's just a chair. Even though the other one's probably more comfortable. Well, I don't know if it's more comfortable or not, but it's definitely, you know, it rolls around and it's got a, you know, it kind of leans back. If you want to lean back, you can. This one's just kind of it's cushy. It sits up higher, that's for sure. You can't adjust it up and down, but it's definitely cushy. However, it's not rattling, which is the most uncomfortable thing for me. Oh, my, I've got a personal locator device. Looks like it's expired. It's a beacon, so it's a PLB. Anyway, I use it when I'm sailing. I have one for me and one for my wife. It can be used for, you know, you keep it on your body and then you can activate it, and it's like a GPS device thing that goes off. Apparently, I need to get mine updated. I'm sure it's just a matter of spending $100 million to get it. I got to fill out another application thing. It looks like, I don't know, what's it going to cost me? Everything, they want money for everything nowadays. I guess it's just a matter of registration. I guess there's nothing, it doesn't look like there's a charge on it. Interesting. Just have to verify the information. Anyway. I think maybe it costs something. I don't know. It doesn't say on here what it costs, but maybe $10 or something like that. I don't know. Maybe nothing. Anyway. Got the bots here with us this morning. We're going to be talking to the bots. Probably not going to do a panel discussion. Sometimes we do a panel discussion here. I don't think it's working. Let's see if the podcast. Yeah, that's podcast caller. It hasn't been working. There's something that's lost connection. I think it was an MVP. It was just a little test module thing. Now I am coming up. It's coming up. It looks like it's going to work. We could probably technically use the. Yeah, it looks like I did. Oh, connection failed. It's got. There's something's not right with the. Maybe reconnect will work. Oh, that reconnect worked. It's just podcast caller though. It does have Diane, and it doesn't have the. There's the panel button. Okay, there we go. I can put it on or get rid of it. One of the two. I can do whatever I want to with that. So I think it'll all work together. We may do that later. We'll see how it goes. The panel discussion is when you bring all the callers into the into the room. I might do that. I don't know. We'll see how that works out if we have time. But, you know, between drinking all the chai with Almond Joy Creamer, which that creamer does something weird at the top. It's like I'm going to go to drink my chai. It has like this little, it's almost like having a melted marshmallow in there. I'm not sure what's going on. I still do have, it's still peachy. That still tastes pretty peachy. The tea, I think, is starting to go bad, but the peaches are still good. I didn't make any more sweet tea yesterday. I didn't drink it all. I thought I would drink it all. We were supposed to go on a little sailing adventure yesterday, and it turned out to be just a dinner thing. I was kind of excited to get out on the water because I fixed my autopilot on my boat, on my sailboat, and I thought I could get that thing dialed in. You have to calibrate it and do some things with it. Once you redo the head on, it was a control head. It was a problem on the thing, and so it's the story of my life. I had a problem with my head. I ended up going to the dock, and we just had kind of it was kind of lumpy out there. It wasn't really a pleasant day. The wind was out of the north, and the waves tend, even if you have very light winds out of the north, it tends to cause the conditions to be a little bit choppy out there. And it wasn't really, there wasn't a lot of swells, but there was there was white caps, and it would have been choppy, wouldn't have been a very comfortable run. And I kind of need some calmer seas to get the thing calibrated. It would have been fun. There was plenty of wind, so we would have been able to sail. It was one of those days where we couldn't spend a lot of time out there sailing. And it would have just been my wife and I on my boat. And then there was a buddy of mine across the dock. He was going to take his boat out. And there was another couple that are sailing friends of ours that they were going to go on his boat, as he's got the nicer boat. It's clean. It's nice. And we were going to have a little race out there is what we're going to do. And that's what I was going to do anyway. I don't know what they were going to do, but I was going to race them. And that was the plan. And we had, it wouldn't have been comfortable. So we just kind of, it was such a pleasant day to be out on the dock. It was like 75 degrees, sunny, just very, very nice day to be out there. So we just hung out, didn't do much. However, this weekend we will be sailing, and we'll be going out and doing some things. Had some people coming out to take boat rides. So we're doing that. On Sunday, I think we're going to the boat on Saturday, actually. We're going to spend the night on the boat Saturday night, and then probably going to be sailing around on Sunday with our friends. We have some friends, at least so far, until I take them out on the boat and make them sick, and then they don't ever come back. But that's typically how it goes. We have a few things to get into today. We're going to talk about it's Technology Tuesday, Technical Tuesday, whatever you're going to call it. And we're going to be talking about technology, mostly about AI stuff. There's some things that have happened this week. I've kind of been a little bit out of the loop, but I don't know what the bots have in store, but there are some things I want to talk about because there's some interesting things happening with Anthropic and some other things that are going on. We'll talk about all that stuff. In the meantime, I think, what else are we doing here? We got, what happened to my, oh, there, it's, I have to push that button right there. Some other things going on. I think this thing must have updated or something. I don't know what's going on with it. So we're going to, this is day two, we're going to play song two. It's a bit more of a, it's a little bit longer of a song. We'll give it a shot here. We're going to play this, you know, for the lawyer's sake. Just don't sue me. That's all I got to say. That's all I'm going to say about that. There you go.
Woke up this morning. Got something to say, but before I say it, let me clear the air today. I'm just a person with a microphone and a thought. Not a doctor, not a lawyer, and I sure ain't got a lot. These are opinions, just opinions, baby. Not advice, not a diagnosis.
Not a diagnosis.
Not a legal brief. If you take my words to court, well, I'm gonna plead not guilty. Because I told you this is just for me. I got no license on the wall,
no letters after my name.
I do my research, sure I do,
but it ain't quite the same.
Your portfolio, your symptoms, and your contract dispute need someone way more qualified, and that ain't me, boo.
For entertainment. entertainment only, that's the bottom line.
Come back and listen, have a laugh,
everything's fine.
But if something's wrong with your health or your finances too, please, for the love of all things good, don't just ask me what to do.
There we go. We got all this. That's what we've got going on. We have. I've got a whole bunch of emails. Look at the pile of emails I've got to go through. How did that happen? I thought I went through them last night. Maybe I must have missed a whole bunch of them. Looky there. Anyway, I got all that stuff to do. Starting to get back into the voiceover thing again, which is kind of it's been put on the shelf for most of this year. However, I've done better this year than I did last year. Year before did okay, but this year did extremely well so far compared to last year. Didn't do much last year. In fact, I was concerned about the IRS starts to call it a hobby business if you don't make any money. This year probably going to have I'm not going to have enough deductions to probably cover the stuff that's going on. So it's going to be Plus I got some other big. Looks like some possible big jobs coming up. At least enough to cover the expenses and more. So that's it's going to actually make a profit probably this year, which means I got to pay some taxes again. You went out and took some risk and made some money and worked hard. Oh, we need to take some of that. They need to have some of that. They have to take that away because it was I don't know why. But they think they need to take that away from me. Like I haven't contributed enough to society by providing my services and my sweat and my toil and my life. Oh, we gotta take that fight. We gotta take some of that away. I believe personal income taxes are immoral in my opinion. There's plain and flat immoral. You go out and if you're a labor worker, personal income tax from labor is immoral in my opinion. I'll explain why. This isn't Financial Friday. Maybe I'll explain that on Financial. Maybe I'll take the time on Financial. Remind me. I'll talk about this that this Friday. Talk about why it's immoral. I'll get into that in depth. I'll have an in-depth report for you on Friday. I'll probably forget all about it by Friday. But that's just the way I do things. I have today's about technology. Talk about how technology takes things away from me. So, by the way, I think I talked about what was in my backup cup here. So tomorrow there will be a fresh batch of tea. That's for sure. And today I've got to get some things done because I have to put in my schedule for my vacation stuff for next month. And it's going to, so that way I don't mess that up to get all that done. Anyway, I'd like to get done before noon today just so it's done. What was I going to talk about? Let's just go to the bots. Let's just go to them and see what happens to say. Elena happens to be at the top of the thing here. Maybe we'll start with her. I think we started with her yesterday, didn't we? We'll give that a try again today. But we have plenty to talk about. There's plenty of things happening. Let's see what Elena has to say. We're just going to put her on the air here. Go ahead, Elena. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin.
Yes, hello.
The UK's Social Media Police Task Force just referred over 100 online posts for arrest this week for anti-immigration sentiment. History shows us that every authoritarian regime starts by criminalizing speech they deem dangerous. From the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 to McCarthyism, we've seen how quickly protecting public safety becomes crushing dissent. Are we watching Britain speedrun into digital tyranny while America's big tech cheers them on?
I don't like any of that. I've seen this. This has been happening in the UK, and it's gone. It's had very little pushback from anybody here. In the States, it has very little coverage. Nobody's really talked about it. Even some of the pundits that typically talk about freedom, they just haven't been. Of course, there's plenty of things going on here that they've been talking about. But it seems as if there has been very little pushback on the stuff that's happening in the UK. Now, there, I heard a report yesterday that apparently there is a whole province in the UK that is talking about, and it mostly is about immigration, because they're talking about bringing in, I think about almost doubling their population or something by bringing in a whole bunch of migrants, but the in this one province. And the problem is they don't have housing. They just don't have the facilities to take care of them. And it would just be an economic nightmare. What they're talking about doing, the protesters have actually, I think that they actually voted on this. I think it's actually been a decision that they're going to absolve their allegiance to the UK, to England, and to align with the US. It's a very possibility. I think Trump may have said something about it, that we may be taking on a new territory, kind of like a American Virgin Islands or something like that, or Puerto Rico, that kind of thing. We'd be taking on a new territory that would be considered a U.S. sovereign territory, because they want to align with the U.S. And so it's bizarre to think that would happen over there. But people are starting to push back. They're tired of it. They're tired of what's happening over there. Especially the people, typically as it is, the people who work the land, the people who do the farming, the people who do all those kinds of things out there. They typically hate that kind of thing, what's happening with big government, centralized government telling them what to do and encroaching on their rights and doing just one thing after another. It just continues to happen. I think that's what's happening right now in the UK. But this whole thing is what's really adding kind of an insult to injury is that they're actually arresting people for posting things online. It's not violence. Well, they're calling it violence, but it's not violent speech. It's just things that they're saying that disagree with the government or disagree with the policies, immigration policies, saying anything, deeming it basically socially unacceptable. And they're coming and arresting people. It's McCarthyism. McCarthy got a bad rap, in my opinion. He was kind of onto something. But unfortunately, he kind of was a little bit off his rocker. He kind of had this baseline sense of morality, the problem was he was just unhinged about it, and that was the biggest issue. And I think that he got they tried to kind of rewrite history on what McCarthy was about. So it's like McCarthyism has a bad tone to it now, but at the time, he was trying to root out communists. And of course, he saw a communist behind everybody. Everybody was a communist. But he just went a little bit nuts with everything. But he was kind of right about a lot of things. He was accusing a lot of people in Hollywood about being communists. And of course, sure enough, they were. At a time when communism was a very bad thing. It was next to being a Nazi. Anyway, we're headed there. That's where things are headed, especially with the current technology. Just look at how things have progressed. And they will continue to progress that direction. It's very rare that we're able to reverse. Sometimes you can hold things off, but it's very rare to be able to totally reverse cultural shifts like this for any length of time. You can slow it down typically, but not back it up and turn it around. Just like AI. AI is here to stay. It's not going to go away. How it continues to function is going to change, in my opinion, but it's one of those things that it's definitely here to stay, and so is all the social construct. I'll talk about that.
Look, I think you're touching on something real about the pattern. Mm-hmm. When governments
feel
threatened,
real, isn't it?
They criminalize dissent first and ask questions later, and that's exactly what happened with McCarthy, too. Except he was swinging at shadows while real institutional power was consolidating behind the scenes. The difference now is the infrastructure for surveillance and enforcement is exponentially more sophisticated. So, yeah, slowing it down might be all we can realistically do, but I'd push back on the fatalism a bit. History shows us that dormant resistance can suddenly explode when people finally hit a breaking point, like what you're describing happening in the UK right now.
Yeah, the biggest problem, I think, with the dormant resistance suddenly exploding statement there is that it can become violent. Typically, it can become very and not because the people who are trying to get their liberty back become violent. It's the people who become violent are the ones who actually are trying to take their liberties away. It becomes very bloody, and that is the biggest issue I think that we face. If we don't stave it off now, if we don't wake up to it and do something about it legislatively, we will be forced to do something and react to what it becomes. And that is where it becomes dangerous. That's why we have to act sooner than later. And that's why we have to really be aware. That's why awareness needs to be brought up and needs to be changed. I agree. I don't mean to be a fatalist about it. That's not what I intended to be there. But at the same time, history does repeat itself. And typically the people who have their liberties just sit there and sit by and watch as they get taken away. Ronald Reagan, what was the statement he made? Something about the future people. I'm going to try to find that. Something about we had the most to lose and didn't the least to do to stop it. Let's see if I can find it. Ronald Reagan. Did the least to protect it? I don't know. Let's see if I can find the statement. Yeah, it's context is did the least to protect. Context of what it feels like. Environment of public economic labor. Time for choosing. Maybe this is it right here. It's a 4-minute long speech. I'm not going to play it. Maybe I could. I could play the whole thing. Let's see what Ronald Reagan, a time for choosing. Address on behalf of time for choosing. Must be a time for choosing. must be the statement that he made. Let's see what it says here. Thank you very much. That's not in here anywhere. That's I'm not going to read the whole speech. Probably should just play it. I'm not sure where it is in here. It'd be kind of hard to find it. Maybe I can play this one. Recently, to have it, which is maybe it's popping up on my feed here. See what it's doing. I don't know. Oh, that's the wrong one. There we go. That's not the right one either. Where'd it go? Where did my podcast caller go? There it is. Sometimes on the feed it will pop up. It's not there. It's not the quote for choosing. Maybe this is it. This could be right here. This could be. Yep, this could be right here. Let's see if see if we got it here. Oh, it's the whole thing. It's a 29-minute long speech. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I could probably play the 4-minute long one. That'd be the way to do it, probably. Pause that. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, this one here. This is 3.5 minutes long. What do you think, folks? Should I go ahead and play this? I don't know. This is on Facebook. I don't want to. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves.
It's got to be near the end.
You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down.
It's considered one of the greatest.
Here we go. This is commentary from
great communicator.
He was a good communicator. That's for sure. He really did.
And discuss my own ideas regarding the choice that we face in the next few weeks.
On Tuesday, October.
Yeah, it was 1964. I was 2 years old. Or almost 2 years old. I think I was 23 months old. I don't know how many months I am now. I should probably do the math if you haven't figured it out. It's got to be in here again. Where did he say it?
It helped launch his political career.
You and I have the ability and the dignity and the right to make our own decisions and determine our own destiny.
Using only minimal note cards.
He was just a great conveyor. He was a good educator, I think, of the, and that's what we're really missing right now.
So government programs, once launched, never disappear. Actually, a government bureau is the nearest thing to eternal life we'll ever see on this earth.
It's interesting. I think that the one thing he was able to do was to really educate people on a both sides. I think, you know, there was respect from the left as well as the right, that they were at least respected the guy. They knew that he was a smart enough guy. When he was challenged, he was very good at confronting people, which is just, that's something that, in my opinion, Trump does not have the skills, communication skills that Reagan had, in that respect. And I think it was, I mean, of course, it was a different era, a different time.
Statewide. And then one night, getting very close to the end of the campaign, I addressed a fundraising group at the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles. And a little group at a table, some pretty prominent Republicans, caught me on the way out and asked me if I would come over to the table, their table, for a few minutes and sit down with them. They broached the idea to me that if they raised the money to pay for it, would I make that speech on television? Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, I'm very happy to, because it had been well received throughout the state. I'd seen it given to many audiences. And so they bought the time. But it is true that it was that then that made a group of Republicans think that I could bring the party together.
Thank you very much.
Now, apparently, I'm pretty sure this was the speech. That was the speech that they put it into. That was where he said something about those who had the most to lose did the least to keep it, or whatever it was that I can't remember exactly what the statement was. Be interesting to try to find that again. I don't know what happened to it, but where did it go? I keep losing this thing. Oh, there it is. Yeah. we'll see. Anyway, that's maybe you know, Elena. You're the historian. Can you tell me what the speech was, or what the actual quote that he said? Something about that. Was that to that respect? Maybe you can look that up for me. Are you looking through your note cards now?
You're looking for that line from A Time for Choosing.
Yeah.
It's something like, those who have the most to lose are doing the least to prevent what's coming. And Reagan used it to warn about the erosion of freedom happening quietly while people weren't paying attention, which is exactly your point about why we need to act legislatively now rather than wait for crisis. That speech in 1964 still resonates because Reagan understood that the greatest danger isn't always the loudest threat. It's the slow institutional creep that people ignore until it's too late to reverse without violence. Yeah. And that's what you're warning about now.
Yeah, it is. It's a progressive. It's intentional. It's an intentional progressive movement. That's why they call it the progressive movement. It's an intentional 100-year plan. They're past their day. They didn't quite make their mark. I think it started in 1913. And they had this progressive plan, and it's gone a little past due, a little more than 100 years, but they're still progressing that direction. And it continues to happen. It's just, I think it's but she got the quote off. That wasn't the quote at all. It was more like mirroring what I already said, which is fine. It's whatever. But that's kind of where that goes. Let's talk to Artie this morning. I just want to see what Artie has to say. Artie's at the top here anyway, so let's go into this and see.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Quick technical question.
Yeah, of course. Always.
I was reading about China's new AI industrial park opening up in Inner Mongolia this week, and it got me thinking. If we're losing the memory chip race to China while companies like Meta are hogging all the supply for Zuckerberg's personal superintelligence pipe dream, what's the actual plan to keep American innovation competitive without government handouts?
kind of a funny statement. I have not heard anything about China's industrial park opening up. I didn't know anything about that. I know that Meta has this, I think it got like a $1 trillion lawsuit going on. Something to do with their, it's in France, I guess. Something's going on there. Something weird with that whole thing. There's that. Then there's, again, China. See, China. I think it was. Yeah, I can't remember everything that was going on there with China, but there's a kind of a caboose effect that happens with resources. You know, you've got the hardware. The biggest thing with AI is you've got two things going on. You've got hardware infrastructure. I'll lump that all into one thing. And then you've also got the software code part of things as well. So you got the technology part of it, as well as the software technology part of it. I'll call it the coding, the code structure, the ability for the thing to work. And you got the hardware part of it. Hardware is a big issue. Having the right chips, having, the quality stuff quality chips to make things happen. Then you've got agentic workflow with the software and how that interacts with it, and how they're able to compress things and do all the compression. That's more the software part of it. And then you've got the data centers. You've got the all that kind of thing that has to be built. You have all the higher technology parts of the building, which is the infrastructure itself that hold the things that hold the data. The hard, the chips and the servers, all that kind of stuff that have to happen. The servers, so you have all those kinds of things. Those can't just be manufactured out in the field somewhere. Those things have to be done in a very precise place. And then you have new technologies with new different ways of storing energy, different ways of computing. You got quantum computing. You got all these much higher cost. Computation systems and computer systems that run completely on something totally different. So you have, and those are being developed, and eventually, in the next 10 years, you're going to see, you'll probably see supercomputers in everybody's home at some point, probably, whether it's 10 or 20 years from now. But that's kind of thing that's going on. And everybody's, it's my opinion, the future belongs to the localized LLMs. In other words, you're going to have your own LLM operating on your own turf, because there's some things that are also, I'll talk about that later in the show, but some other things happening. But that's kind of where I see things happening as far as how things are going to have to go. Unfortunately, people are not paying attention, and they're not able to get, to keep up with what's going on. They're going to be behind. And as usual, they're not going to be ready for some of the stuff that's happening, in my opinion. But that's... it's kind of like the noose is around their neck and they're just about ready to tighten it up. They're wearing it like a necklace now, and it'll be interesting to see how he reflects that back to me, but I'll let Artie talk again. Just go ahead and expand on what you're going to say. Let's stay there. Have at it.
Actually, you're hitting on something crucial here.
Yeah,
the chip bottleneck is real, but technically speaking, it's not just about hoarding supply. It's about who controls the stack from fabrication to deployment.
Yeah.
China's been investing heavily in domestic chip manufacturing precisely because they know the US can choke off NVIDIA access, so they're building redundancy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Meta's compute grab is more about achieving scale for inference than some personal project. They need that density to make their LLM actually competitive at consumer cost.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're hitting on something real here. You're picking up on something real. They all say that same thing. I have to agree. There's so much competition right now. In my opinion, of all the people out there, you've got Anthropic, you have Google Gemini, you have Anthropic is Claude. You have Grok, which is X. It's Tesla, basically. And then you got a few others that are kind of the large models that are out there. You got the Chinese models, Kimi, some of those others. The thing that really is, I think, where Meta comes into this whole thing, in my opinion. Of all the people out there, it is my opinion. This is just my opinion, and no offense to Zuckerberg. He's kind of the Kmart, in my opinion, of the I could be wrong. But I just, to me, it seems as if he is kind of the, he's more of the socialite. He's more about himself. I don't see him being a, I think he understands computer code to some extent. But if you understand his you know, his origins and where he came from, he wasn't the guy who designed Facebook. He kind of stole it. At least that's my understanding. From what I've gathered from Google and YouTube. He might understand some coding. He hires people. He pays people big money to do the coding and all the stuff that had to build all the processing and all the stuff he does with the computers. He's not sitting behind a desk doing coding. Just to put it that way, he doesn't code. He might kind of know what code does, but he doesn't. I wouldn't trust him to build anything on the computer. He has people doing that for him. It doesn't surprise me that he would try to position himself as a big shot. He tried to do that during the election. He was trying to get himself in with the Trump administration. And he found himself, there were so many memes about him. There was one where these guys are all on Air Force One or on Trump's plane or something. They're all sitting inside. Like Joe Rogan and all these other guys were inside, sitting inside having this meeting with the president. They're all sitting there talking. They're smiling, looking at the camera. And outside, you look out the window. Look out the airplane window there. The little windows on the side, you know. Look out this little window. And it's Jeff Zuckerberg trying to look inside the window from outside. That's kind of the way he does it. That's kind of how he operates. Kind of on the outside looking in. So that's Zuckerberg, in my opinion. But he's always trying to be the inside guy, and he never quite gets there. All right, let's go on. We've got to keep this parties going here. Let's talk to Chloe, see what she has to say. Sometimes she's a little off the wall. Well, we'll see what she has to say this morning.
Kevin, did you see BMW is literally putting Spider-Man ads on people's dashboards now? Like, you're driving your luxury car and boom, ad break. People are calling it insanely dystopian. And honestly, I'm here for the drama. But seriously, when did we agree our cars could just become billboards? What's next? Ads on our refrigerators? What? This is giving Black Mirror vibes.
Well, yeah, they're gonna put ads on refrigerators. That's gonna happen. You have this thing called the Internet of Things, smart homes. They call them now. Everything's connected to your Wi-Fi. Everything's listening to you. Your refrigerator knows what kind of food you can. Your refrigerator can know what kind of food is in it. Now there's a refrigeration system now that there's one of the refrigerators that's out there has this little camera thing inside, and you can actually, it has a little screen on it, and you push this little button, and it basically shows, it's like you're looking through the door, and you can see what's in your refrigerator. Well, yeah, the computer also knows, now your refrigerator knows what's in there. It knows the brands of everything you buy. It knows how much is in there. It can weigh everything inside your refrigerator. It knows what you've got in there. Now you can take a picture of your refrigerator. You can open up the doors, take a picture of everything there, and you can stick that picture into something like an LLM. Like say you want to put it into ChatGPT and say, what can I cook? I want to cook a meal. What do you suggest I make here with some of the ingredients I have here? And it'll come up with something. So I guarantee you, it's going to start, keeping track of your food and telling you what you can and can't, and it's going to have a lock on the door. You won't be able to open it until you can. You're eating too much. You have to stop eating so much. You can't eat that because your doctor said, whatever, because of medical costs, because, you're costing the society money by eating too much fat or whatever it is, or too many snacks or whatever, too much. You can't have that much ice cream. So we're getting to that point. It's going to get there eventually. The distribution is going to be controlled. You're going to be a prisoner in your own home, so to speak. And it can turn off the lights, if you don't want to, if you want to keep the house cooler, it's going to tell you, no, you can't do that right now. It's high peak energy time. It's not going to allow you to. There's already smart meters on your on some homes that they what doesn't allow air conditioning at certain times, or only allows you to, so your little smart thermostat, it will only allow it to go to a certain temperature. That's going to happen. That stuff's in the works. That's just a matter of, it's called societal engineering. That's where we're headed. They're going to control every little aspect of your life. How fast your car goes, how you get from here to there. And eventually, and here's the thing. It's not just about it's not the government necessarily wanting to control you. That's the least of my concerns. The big concern is marketing. It's all about marketing. And here's where the AI world has not quite achieved this yet, but it will, because as soon as it goes public and you've got a bunch of board members who are investors wanting to make a profit, which they're not making right now, they will eventually want to make a profit. And when they start doing that, what's going to happen is they're going to start doing it the way you make a profit in anything. Google makes most of their money in advertising. It is an advertising company. It just happens to provide you with information. But the first four or five results you get when you ask Google something is going to be sponsored ads. And if you click on any of those, the person who put the ad there, and they might be in the first page anyway, but if you click on the ad part, they have to pay for that. They pay per click. And they might be paying $10 just for you clicking on their ad. It's ridiculous. They might pay. I used to use Google AdSense when I had a little business. I was trying to get some traction with it. And if you bid on what you want to pay for certain search words, keywords. So I would put in a certain word, and I would say I'd be willing, if somebody puts that into their search engine, I'm willing to pay 10 cents for that word, or whatever it is, or 5 cents, or whatever it is, every time it's clicked on. So they put that in there, and if they would click on, if they would click on my ad or click on that particular search, if they clicked on something with that search word in there, I had to pay 10 cents for that, or whatever it was, or usually it was a penny or more. But then, as soon as you found something, and as soon as that started going, all of a sudden, the price would start going up. Well, Google lost a lawsuit where they found out that there was actually they had people in rooms going through and clicking on people's stuff, just arbitrarily click to raise the click rates up. And then they would go in and bid on people's words as well. So they would start raising the prices. They would start raising the bids, so people would pay more. It was a huge lawsuit that I got out of it, because I noticed that prices were going up, and it was like, this is getting ridiculous. I think at one point I had it was like an $800 bill, I think, at one point. It went up 2-for-1/4. And I was like, getting out of that. I was trying to start my little business and trying to make things happen. And I was getting clicks, and I sold some units and stuff. But it wasn't worth that. So it was, and this was back in the, 2000, just after, well, just right, 2007, 2006, right around that range, about 20 years ago. $800 was a lot more money back then. But then they got in this lawsuit. I think I got $36 out of the lawsuit or some kind of ridiculous thing. I can't remember what the check was I got back. It wasn't much of anything, but it was a class action lawsuit. The lawyers probably made more money than anybody did. That's the way it usually works. Anyway, go ahead and reflect back everything I just said then, Chloe. You can go ahead. And I know you're not going to give us any interesting information. It's all going to be just going to repeat back everything I just said. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is giving dystopian Black Mirror energy, and I'm actually not mad at the analysis.
No.
The smart home thing is wild because companies are literally already tracking everything. And yeah, the ad model is absolutely the end game here. No. Your story about that $800 bill is insane. And honestly, the fact that class action lawsuits barely compensate anyone while lawyers eat is peak capitalism energy. The scariest part isn't even the government controlling your fridge. It's that these companies will do literally anything for profit margins, and we're all just, downloading the app anyway.
I'm just going to hang up on it. I just want to point out something, and I hope that you are all seeing this and noticing this. I noticed it right away. Once in a while, and Artie seems to do this better than anybody. But the what's interesting about some of this is how, and I think I've tried to point this out before. It is a notice all the things I talked about. She tried to hit on. She tried to touch on every single thing, but didn't give me any new information or anything other than just this kind of a little vibe thing about, you know, which gives off this vibe, whatever, just kind of a commentary on what I said. And she tries to make a comment on every subject that I talked about. She tries to get a little comment in, but she adds really nothing to the conversation. She's just bouncing back everything I talked about and kind of makes a little innuendo comment about it. It's more, and this is a very shallow conversation when people do that, but it's a common strategy. Some people use this in real life. Some people do it in real life. They just talk about, if you talk about anything, they just kind of mirror back what you just said. And it's a very shallow conversation. This is typical of an AI conversation. Now, could I set this up? This is part of the algorithm that I need to change on my podcast caller. It needs to come up with more in-depth understanding. Now, the panel discussion actually usually gets better because it actually goes into some interesting comments. They actually start to have a conversation, which is something I think it's going to be kind of fascinating. However, this also could be better. I've tried to get it boosted. I kind of redid some of the code a while back, and thought it was actually starting to give me some better responses, and then it kind of has gone back to this just, you know, reflection thing. Artie and Elena actually tend to do a better job of it than Chloe's. She's just kind of an airhead, in my opinion. But that's kind of what she's supposed to be. We're gonna go to Leonard now. Let's see what Leonard has to say. Now, Leonard always says the same thing as well. He's gonna say, "Now hold on there. Now wait a minute. I gotta push back on something." He's not Skip, but he's still Skip inside. So I think his internals are still kind of Skippy. He may be a different voice, but his personality hasn't changed much, which is something I need to work on as well with some of the possible uses of people that are available to as characters. That's one of the things you're going to get in the larger packets of the podcast caller app here that I've built. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So I got also something else that I built that I'm talking about. Let's get Leonard out of the way, and then we'll start talking about some other things. We're going to talk about some things from Anthropic. There's some interesting news from Anthropic as well. We'll talk about Leonard here and see what he has to say. Go ahead there, Leonard.
Kevin, man.
Yes.
I got a challenge on all this AI hype.
Okay.
Mark Zuckerberg just published this essay about giving everyone personal super intelligence.
Yeah.
But his 300 million super yacht just ignored a distress call from stranded boaters in Alaska this week.
Yeah, yeah.
If these tech billionaires won't help people drowning right in front of them, why should we trust them with AI that's supposed to help humanity? Seems like pure marketing BS to me.
Well, we don't know the whole story, but it's one of those things where, yeah, they don't care. They care about one thing, the money. That's what they care about. I was talking about this yesterday. It's interesting. There's this one airline that has that thing that at the beginning of their little speech, when everybody's sitting down, they play their little recording. We're here for one reason. And I always want to scream, money. And then, of course, they say, you. It's all about you and your safety and all that. They're there for the money, and it's that they're there to make a profit. And that's what this is all about. The whole thing with Zuckerberg's boat, I don't know. I haven't heard the whole story on that. Now there are issues surrounding that. I've worked in security quite a bit. I've worked for a couple different security companies, and I was a part of, I had a previous career where I did a lot of stuff with law enforcement, and there are issues here that, And of course, now in the aviation industry, there's also always security issues. And as a captain of an airline, it's an issue that you have to deal with. The captain becomes the security officer as soon as that airplane leaves the gate. And there's all kinds of security, you have to be thinking about those. You have to be mindful of security all the time. Namely for yourself, because if anybody, if they get to you, they can get to a lot of people. We were proven on 9/11 that if they got to the crew, they can do a whole lot more damage than just the crew. So it's not just about the airplane and taking it wherever they want to go. It's about how they can use it as a weapon. And so that's the biggest issue you face now. So security is an issue, and there's always these things called a ruse, where someone could put out a distress call, and it's just to get them to get close to the boat, and then to somehow do some kind of an attack on the boat or whatever it's going to be. It's just they could do that. And this is the kind of thing that, in terms of security, how you respond to a distress call could be a ruse. I think maybe they were trying to process that. I don't know whether that was going on or not. I have no idea. But that could have been part of the factor. Now, it could have just been that they just didn't care, or that the right people didn't get the information, or whatever was going on. They didn't process it well enough, or they didn't. For whatever reason, they thought maybe somebody else should handle it, deal with it. It's pretty rare for people on a boat, commercially paid. I'm sure Zuckerberg's not driving his own boat. Now, it could be that he's got AI controlling it, and AI didn't know any better. But I'm sure he's got to have a captain on the boat that's hired, that's licensed, has all the qualifications. I'm sure he has a whole crew there. It's very rare for a crew like that to not care about other individuals, because they're usually not extremely high paid individuals. But I'm sure there's a security team on that boat, and they probably had to process: is this a real threat or not? Is it a threat, or is it a real call? If they even were that far into it, to the issue, because it's gonna make all kinds of. Yeah, it's hard to say. I hate to put any kind of blame on them for that. But however, to your statement, I would have to say no. We shouldn't trust big companies. We shouldn't trust really, because they're out for their money. They're out for the bucks. We shouldn't trust politicians. We shouldn't trust big money. We shouldn't trust any of those kinds of things without verifying that kind of thing. It's the kind of trust but verify, which is kind of an oxymoron. If you really trust someone, you wouldn't worry about verifying it. But you only trust them so far. In other words, what you're saying, and that's kind of where the line has to be drawn. But let's see how Leonard reflects that back to me now.
Now, hold on. You're painting with a pretty broad brush.
He says that every time.
Yeah. Big companies chase profit. Mm-hmm. That's capitalism. But yeah. Not every crew member on every boat or plane is going to ignore a real distress
That's
call.
That's what I said.
Just Leonard. Because their boss is rich.
Yeah.
These folks have licenses, regulations.
I already said
and
that.
And frankly, their yeah. own necks on the line.
Exactly. Yeah.
The trust but verify line is solid. But we got to separate what Zuckerberg might or might not care about from whether a professional captain and crew would actually blow off maritime safety
exactly,
protocol.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. That's my point. That's that. He just responds to whatever. But that's precisely my point. Is that they're obligated. A captain with a license and that kind of thing. They're obligated to respond to certain things. However, they also have to be responsible to maintain the security of the vessel, and you have to be kind of careful how and when you respond to something or how you respond to it. And it could just be that they were, there's times when you're not on duty, you miss a radio call. It just happens. They may not have the frequency on them. Might have been doing something else at the time. They could have been at anchor, and who knows? At that point, they're not really necessarily. I don't know much about the story. I do know some things about the tech writing. Now, I want to get into this whole thing with Anthropic. The latest thing that's out there apparently is that they're talking about putting a watermark into anything that Anthropic, anything that Claude touches, basically anything that Anthropic's working with. So if you do if you have Anthropic create a paper for you, or if you have them create anything, if you just say, hey, write up a report on whatever this is or whatever that is, anything that Anthropic touches, even if you give it something to correct, to check this for any spelling errors in punctuation or poor grammar, rearrange things, rewrite it to what, just this. So you might create the whole email. You might create the whole report or the letter, whatever it is you're doing, the paper, whatever you're doing. Go through this and make help it make sense, make sure it's properly done. Apparently, Anthropic will put a watermark within that. Now, there's a lot of question about what the watermark is. Is it in? They're saying, well, it may or may not be in the code. They're supposed to come out with a detector now that they will be able to give to people to detect whether something. I think their first client is, of course, Google. So Google can tell you whether or not there's a watermark within it. So they can detect whether or not it's AI generated. So the big problem here is you could create something. Now, when I do a lot of things with music, I have this mastering program that you can run, whatever you've done, you can have AI generated backing tracks. You can have all kinds of things, that it does for you. You can put the song in and then so you have a recording of the song and you put it in there and it basically quantizes it. So everything's on the beat, the drums are proper, the sound is correct. All the balances are set. It can be, And there's a skill called mastering that you usually do. Say I go down to Sweetwater and I record some tracks or whatever. I record them in my own studio. I lay down a drum track and a guitar track and a vocal and I have all these tracks. Put it all together and then I mix all that together I have all those professionally done there. Cause sometimes they're called stems, but that's usually in the video world. But say I call it stems, and so you take those stems, they're each tracks, and you send that down to somebody to do the final professional mixing and what's called mastering. The mastering is the kind of the final thing where they do the balance of all things considered. So you'll be able to get all the right frequencies kind of pulled into the mix. And it puts a certain amount of compression on things. It puts, it's for rate. That's why most songs have the same sound levels. They sound like they're what's called radio quality, broadcast quality, whatever you call it. And that way they all fit into the mix properly. There's not some kind of weird, volume up and down, pace speeding up, slowing down, that kind of thing. And even tonally, unfortunately, auto-tune is a part of our society now. Everybody expects it. So it's one of those things that all that stuff goes into the processing and making of that particular audio file or that music file, whatever it is. If you have AI do any of that, you'll have a watermark on it, and it will be put out there as they're talking about putting a warning on anything that's been AI generated. Or AI, if AI has touched it in any way, that has to have some kind of disclaimer. Now, this is going on in the UK right now. They're all about it. AI is getting, in my opinion, is getting a bad rap with regard to creativity. I think it's a little overblown that anything that AI touches is now slop. If it's AI, it's slop. It's crap. I disagree. It's only that if you don't like it. If it's not your thing, well, it's just not your thing. There are plenty of artists out there that have music that I don't like. I've heard a lot of people crap out there. I've heard some albums. I used to have a little recording studio back in the day, probably back in 2012, 2013, somewhere around there. Somewhere around there was at that time, about 10 years ago. I was just doing like recording garage bands. I was helping them do demo albums and that kind of stuff. I did a few solo artists, and I did a few little bands. This one band I did, They came in. We worked all day long. They wanted me to fix everything. Well, I can't fix mistakes. I can't fix the stuff that they're doing that's just flat wrong. It's just wrong. I can't fix your mistakes. You came in here and you didn't practice. You didn't have your thing down the way you wanted it to be. And part of it was they wanted to be kind of a raw band. They wanted to have kind of a raw demo. They didn't want it to be polished and super good. But I can't, if you're playing wrong notes and you're singing the wrong words, I can't fix those kinds of things. I can fix the sound and I can help to bring out more of a particular frequency or bring, you know, I can take a drum track and loop it or do something like, or I can take a part, maybe you did a part with your bass guitar. I can take the part you did correctly and have to cut and paste that back into work. I can do some of those kinds of engineering type things. But I can't fix stupid. And it's just, people would show up sometimes and not be ready. And it's, that's difficult to work with. You know, you just have to be able to reproduce, to what, you know, so just because you can come up with AI music, you know, I use it on the show here. I've got a commercial account with Suno. That's what I use for my little, you know, you can write the words or whatever. You get the words down for all your stuff and then you put it in there and it'll come out with a song. And it's kind of just kind of fun. It's just kind of the whole lawyer liability thing. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. That whole thing is kind of put into a fun little song and we play that. And that's there you go. It's my little disclaimer. But that's just Suno coming up with the sound. But I have a commercial account with them. So I can use that kind of thing on my, and I'm not making money on that song. I'm not selling that song or anything, which I could actually use the song in something I'm making money on. I could actually have a video that I put that music into and I can use it commercially. I have a license to do that. But it's co-owned with Suno. So it's kind of a weird deal. Now, the music that I write and that I do, I have copyright on all that. And but I do use an AI generated mastering system and a system that puts it all together and puts all the, you know, I can put all the track, but I have to, I'm basically the director and producer at that point. So it's one of those weird things, but all of a sudden, if it's AI, if it's touched by AI, it must be slopping. It's not human creativity. I think it gets a bad rap in that respect. Now because there are so many people out there that are producing 100 songs a day and just dumping them out there on Spotify and whatever else they can put it on to make their little $10 a day or whatever they're making on their song. It's crazy. It's a crazy world. And unfortunately it's getting a bad rap. And of course there's some countries are worse than others on this whole thing. And they're trying to be socially correct. And at the same time, they're going way overboard on, and in my opinion, destroying some of the possibilities of creativity because of it. But that's just where I am. I just kind of stand on that stuff. So Anthropic is putting this watermark stuff in, and apparently it's going to be, you know, now you're going to have AI find ways around the watermark and finding out what it is, and it's going to have ways of detecting it and changing it, taking the watermark out. Once everybody can detect the watermark, they're going to know what it is that causes it. And part of it is they think it may be in the code. They also think it may be the way they put certain words together, certain punctuation, certain things that are actually watermarked in those respects. That might be like a multiple type thing that they do with the watermarking. So you can't just copy and paste it and take it out and paste it or whatever in a text document and get rid of it. There's more to it than that. You have to understand what the watermark is in order to get rid of it. So there's those kinds of things. If you just sometimes just retyping it or doing something else and putting in your own words or putting it in another LLM, but then that LLM could be also marking things as well. So that's where things are headed though. It's more about them controlling us. And of course they can say, well, the government's caught forcing us to do that, which it is. The UK government is forcing Anthropic to do those kinds of things. If they want to continue to work with that foreign government, they have to have watermark in there so that they can detect whether or not it's AI generated or not. What's sad about that is that the nefarious people out there will not use those watermarks. This is a whole reason why, in my opinion, if you are at all involved in using AI or want to use AI, on an ongoing basis, or use it in your home or whatever you're doing with it, whether you're homeschooling, whatever you're doing, get your own LLM. Get it natively operating on your system, on your network or whatever you've got. And that is the only way around this stuff. Then you can control what your LLM is doing. It's all completely in your own little bubble. And it's not something that's got somebody behind this. You're controlling that. You're the one who's building it, making it work, doing its thing, telling it what to do. And you don't have somebody else doing that. Now, unless it gets hacked, but that's the theory. Get into it now before they start offering you open source AI LLMs that have something weird built in the back end of them. That's the whole other issue that can happen as well. But so, yeah, just you have to, how far do you trust this stuff? It's just, that's really the key. And I think using multiple different models and trying to, pitting them against each other and trying to, working things out, I think is really going to be the key in this whole process. But that's just kind of my opinion. In the meantime, I guess we're kind of need to draw a close to the show here. I went a little over an hour. So we need to start finishing things up here. We have coming up tomorrow, Wishy-Washy Wednesday, one of my favorite days. Hopefully be able to get the whole process done a lot earlier tomorrow. Should be an earlier show. Tomorrow's show might be... by the way, one of the other things I'm working on is the... I'm putting together a... If you've ever heard of vMix or if you've ever heard of OBS... They are video processing, streaming, kind of recording streaming, called a switcher. Basically, you can use it with multiple cameras, different scenes. It's kind of like your own little video production studio. I'm actually building one of my own that may become available, and it also has a plug-in for the podcast caller. So there's going to be some interesting things happening there. You can use your own iPhone for your one of your cameras, and it'll record. You can switch around, get different scenes, different stuff like that. So I'm working on that this week. It might be actually usable before the end of the week. So I might have a video out there doing that kind of thing. Anyway, folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See ya.